Unreliable Sources, How the 20th Century Was Reported. Written and read by John Simpson. A journalist who writes truthfully what he sees and knows on a given day is writing for posterity. The scepticism and criticisms that I met in some quarters during the Spanish conflict made me feel, at times, that I was working more for the historical record than for the daily reader. Herbert Matthews of The New York Times, A World in Revolution, 1971. Reporting is an art form which has sometimes been mistaken for a science. People who read the news in the paper or on a website, who listen to a radio bulletin or who watch television news, usually imagine they're getting something approaching the truth. Instead, they're merely getting a version of what has happened. Anybody who has witnessed an event and then come across a news report of it afterwards knows how inaccurate the reporting can be. There are mistakes of fact, of understanding, of interpretation. Journalists are like portrait painters. Their work will be accurate and fair, or inaccurate and distorted, according to their individual capability. So a book about the way journalists reported the events of the 20th century is likely to be a detailed study of human inadequacies. Sometimes these are great, sometimes surprisingly small. Occasionally, very occasionally, someone will be found to have been exactly right about something he or she has reported. Those are times to celebrate, but for the most part this will not be a celebration. All the same, it certainly does not set out to be a wholesale condemnation either. Reading through the narrow columns of print from past decades, I found that most reporters were much like the journalists I have known in my own time, just limited human beings trying to find their way through a dense forest of uncertainty, with the light fading and a deadline approaching fast. I found it hard to be too judgmental, having been stuck in the same forest so many times myself. These journalists are simply doing their best to puzzle out what on earth is going on, then trying to fit their interpretation of it all into an unrealistically small number of words, before spending a disproportionate amount of time working out the technicalities of getting their material transmitted back home. As everyone who's ever done the job can testify, reporting, especially from abroad, isn't so much a first draft of history as a form of escapology. To write an account of the journalism of a century has been a humbling experience. Compared with many of the people whose work I have examined, my career has mostly been spent in the shallows, covering small wars, forgettable politics, and toy town presidents and prime ministers. The heroes of this book were giants who saw far more and far worse things than the correspondents of my time have had to endure. By comparison with them, my generation and I have had it easy. For that, and for much else, I honour them. The Voyage of the Dunotter Castle. As the RMS Dunotter Castle sailed out of Southampton on the afternoon of Saturday, the 14th of October, 1899, and headed for the Atlantic, there was one overriding fear on board, that the war would end before the ship could reach Cape Town. Sir Redvers Buller, the British general in command of the British forces, 60 years old, reserved and energetic, was travelling with his staff, 1,500 soldiers and half a dozen war correspondents, each accredited by the War Office to cover the fighting in South Africa. All were anxious to get the two-week voyage over quickly, so they could play their part in the fighting and get whatever share of the credit might be available. The most famous journalist on board was the least experienced of them all, the showy yet oddly unself-confident Winston Churchill, at 24, the correspondent of the Morning Post. He was closer to many of Buller's staff in terms of class and age than were the other correspondents, and the officers found him easy to talk to. Privately, Churchill was less concerned than the other correspondents about the need for haste. On Wednesday, the 25th of October, 11